back to the bench. Hello, beloved, and welcome again to a few moments of fellowship together as we look into the wonderful truths of God's precious Word. You'll notice that a lot of times when I start our broadcast, I say Mike Tagubin, and you may wonder what that is. Well, for a number of years, we worked with the Southern Utes, which is an Indian tribe here in the United States of America. And Mike Tagubin means hello, friend. And so often out of habit, I'll say that. And so I trust that that won't be offensive to you. It's a joy to be able to share with you the truths of God's Word today. And I hope you have a Bible or a New Testament and are able to look into it as we look into the Scriptures of God's Word. We're beginning again in 2 Timothy chapter 3 as we're talking about how that the Word of God is a great treasure. You remember last time in Psalm 19, we read how that the Word of God is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. The truths of God's Word have such an impact on the life of an individual who puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepts Him as Savior, that it is more precious to us than gold or even fine, refined gold. The nuggets of God's truth thrill our heart and soul. That's why every day I get into this book and dig its treasures and meditate upon its truths and watch the Holy Spirit unlock truths that I've never seen before. Even though I've read the same scripture before, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit opens up and unlocks nuggets of truth that I've never seen before. That's why God's Word is such a treasure. There are many facets. It's kind of like a diamond that shines in many different ways according to the light that's reflected upon it. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who opens up and unlocks and instructs and teaches us the wonderful truths contained in God's Word. And the Holy Spirit is a member of the triune Godhead. Now here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we read again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. As we've mentioned previously, the Holy Spirit of God inspired some 40 different men to write down the truth contained in the 66 books of the Bible, and is profitable for doctrine. And that's what we're taking just a little time to consider, some of the basic fundamental truths of God's Word that illuminate our understanding and help us to better know who the eternal God is and how He loves and cares for man. Now last time, and we're going to pick up where we left off in our last broadcast, in Psalm 92 we read these words, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 90 and verse 2. The eternal God always has been. You see, there's many things about Almighty God that our small, finite minds cannot comprehend and understand. There's always so much more to learn about the Lord God. And I believe we're going to be learning for all eternity wonderful truths about our eternal Almighty God. He has created this universe by His mighty power. He spoke it into existence as the Word of God teaches and explains it to us. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10, but the Lord is the true God. Now the word Lord, when it's capitalized in the Bible. When it's written with capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it represents Jehovah. It's a form of the word Jehovah. And Jehovah comes from the Hebrew. Remember, the many books of the Old Testament were written in Hebrew because the Jewish people were the ones that the Holy Spirit of God used to pen the pages of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And so the word Jehovah, the primary meaning of the name Lord, Jehovah, is the self-existent one. Almighty God is self-existent. Literally, this is begin to be explained in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Pentateuch, which are the first five books of the Old Testament written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by Moses, a great prophet that God gave to the nation of Israel. And in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am." And Moses had asked the Lord, when he went back to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, they would ask what his name was. And so God said, "Tell them, I am that I am." That is the basic meaning of the word Jehovah, the self-existent one. And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." The Lord God is therefore the eternal I am. But Hava, from which Jehovah or Yahweh is formed, signifies also to become, that is, to become known, thus pointing to a continuous and increasing self-revelation. The more you read God's Word from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, the more you learn about the eternal God, for He continually reveals Himself more and more throughout the books of the Bible as you read it. And so combining these meanings of Hava, we arrive at the meaning of the name Jehovah. He is the self-existent one who reveals himself to mankind. This also helps us to understand the Trinity and the ministry of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For God the Father so loved mankind that He sent God the Son in human form to reveal God to man in a way that we could comprehend and understand the eternal God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was born by a virgin and walked upon this earth for some 33 and a half years. And the reason He came was to die for the sins of mankind. The fact is that all have sinned and come short of measuring up to God's standard of righteousness. You see, God is holy. He's pure. He's without any sin. But man fell into sin. The first man and the first woman fell into sin in the beautiful paradise of Eden, that garden where God placed Adam and Eve. And this is one of the doctrines of the Bible, is the fall of man into sin. And thus, the descendants of Adam were born with a sinful nature. No one had to teach you how to do wrong. No one had to teach me how to do wrong. My dad used to say that I lied when I was in the crib, because in the middle of the night I'd start screaming and hollering, and they'd come rushing in thinking that a safety pin, was sticking me, and they'd turn on the light, and I'd say, "Goo, goo, everything was all right, I just wanted some entertainment." And so selfishness is a part of the sinful nature that all humanity is born with. It's an effect that sin has had upon the human race. And thus we need someone to deliver us from sin and to make us pure and clean so we can be with the Lord God and approach Almighty God and spend eternity with Almighty God. And that's why in God's great plan and design, He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked upon this earth living a sinless life. He never committed a sin of any kind, and thus He alone could pay the penalty for my sin and for your sin, because the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty for sin, death and separation. And there's physical death, and there's spiritual death. And so spiritual death is the death that every individual is headed toward unless they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came to die on that old rugged cross. You see, beloved, when Christ hung on that old rugged cross, the sins of the whole human race were placed upon Him. As I mentioned before, that's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, that God made Jesus to be sin for us, Jesus who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through faith in His death, burial, and resurrection. Through accepting Jesus as Savior, asking Him to come into our life, He sends the Holy Spirit into our spirit, who does the work of salvation and makes a new person out of us. And so, beloved, how can we receive the Holy Spirit? By telling the Lord Jesus in prayer that we believe He died for our sin, that He was buried, and that He arose from the grave, and that we ask Him to come in and forgive us for our sin. Because, you see, beloved, the Spirit of God is the one who's convicting and drawing you to Jesus right now. If you will cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," if you'll ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you for your sin, right now, where you are, He'll hear that prayer. He'll grant that request, and His Holy Spirit will enter into your spirit to do that work of salvation. And so, beloved, right now, won't you invite Him in? Till next time, goodbye.